Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Boy, this has been some kind of summer, hasn't it? I see on social media where people post memes or they post reflections on what the year 2020 has been like for them and how ready they are to move to 2021 and leave all this stuff behind. Of course, there's COVID-19 and all of its restrictions and the way that it's turned our lives upside down, the way it's made us change virtually everything that we do. But then there are also the racial tensions that have increased, and we see riots and protests, people trying to be heard on a number of different sides. But then there's just that general feeling of uneasiness. Political tensions feel like they are, they continue to ratchet up. And when it feels like they can get no higher on that scale, boy, they continue to go. It feels like there's a low hum of politics and political tension that permeates virtually every aspect of our lives. Into all of this, into the chaos, the fear, the uncertainty, the topsy-turviness of it all, Jesus calls you and me to be his disciples. Jesus calls you and me to trust him. In a time where trust is really a fragile thing, Jesus says, trust me. And of course, it's hard for us. I mean, I've never seen Jesus. Of course, I feel like I know him, but how am I to trust? How are you to trust? But he calls us to trust and to follow. And not only that, but to put ourselves at some risk. Many of you know that I grew up in Southeast Texas, in Orange. And that's right on the border of Texas and Louisiana on the Gulf Coast. And you know, we are used to, and we expect, a good tropical wave, tropical depression, tropical storm. We're ready for those. We're even ready for hurricanes. But I don't think anybody can really be ready for a Category 4 hurricane. A man with KOGT Radio, a local radio station there in Orange, he did some on-the-ground reporting. He drove around with his phone turned on for Facebook Live, so as he drove, he could talk and interact with people, and he could show people. So he drove through the main streets of Orange and then off into the neighborhoods so that people could get an idea of what their neighborhoods might look like, what their houses and businesses, what those conditions might be. This is a wonderful service to the people in that community. As I watched several of his videos, one of the things I noticed were the trees. Orange, Texas has a lot of great trees, but some of them are these magnificent large oak trees, solid trees. And what I noticed about some, of course, there was a lot of leaves, branches, debris on the ground. Some trees had fallen. But what I was amazed at, whereas as I looked around, there were a lot of trees. Most trees were still standing. They had the majority of their branches and they had their leaves. How does a tree hang on to its leaves? How does it hang on to its branches in a Category 4 hurricane? Well, years ago, I heard that that if you took a tree from the time it's a sapling and raised that in a climate-controlled building where there's no wind, and then take that tree outside into a Category 4 hurricane, that tree would not survive. Why? Because the normal course of trees being raised, trees growing, is that they have to contend with the natural elements. They contend with the fluctuation in temperature. They contend with rain and lack of rain. They contend with a slight and subtle breeze, but they also contend with massive storms. Now, no tree would willingly say, yeah, bring on a Category 4 hurricane. But a tree grows stronger as it's exposed to, if I can use the word, suffering. A tree grows stronger as it adjusts to its context, to the conditions around it. And this is the way that I hear the scripture that we hear today, the reading from Matthew's gospel, where Jesus says, if you wish to follow me, deny yourselves, take up your cross, and follow me. Well, first of all, when I hear that, honest to goodness, some of my feeling is like, wow, I feel like one of those saplings that's been raised in a climate-controlled environment inside, and I don't feel strong enough to go outside into that Category 4, and that's sort of what it feels like. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Those seem overwhelming, scary even, and often I feel inadequate to the task. So how do we understand what Jesus is saying to us? What's the Holy Spirit wanting to challenge in my own life, in your life? When I was growing up, my older sister Cindy and I would play Follow the Leader, and sometimes she would we'd get on our bikes to do this, and so she had a 10-speed bike, and you know that on a 10-speed bike, you can your brakes are on the handlebars, and you can spin your pedals backwards, and I had just a little BMX bike, and so when I tried to move my pedals backward, then I was applying the brakes. So she was trying to find ways to trick me up. It's all part of the whole sibling thing, right? But we learn some things about following there. You see, discipleship with Jesus is not like a game of follow the leader. It's not like Simon Says, because Jesus has gifted you and I specifically with certain talents, certain abilities, and so he's planted us in places and in ways where we can grow and bear fruit. That's what we're supposed to do. Use the gifts that God has given us to bear fruit. So we focus on what it is to follow Jesus. Do you think that Jesus is really picky about how we follow? Do you think that he might say, well, you did this a little bit wrong? Or do you think that he might, thump you out of existence into the fires of hell if you follow him wrongly? I wonder what that would look like anyway. Instead, I almost see Jesus overjoyed if he sees that we're making some kind of an attempt to follow, because even when we follow, and again, it feels strange to say incorrectly, but even if we don't do exactly what Jesus says, exactly the way he says it, then don't we all learn? Isn't that like a little bit of the breeze that strengthens us, that helps us to be able to follow more faithfully as we go along through life? See, I had a conversation with a friend just the other day, and we were talking about politics, and we see some things politically very similar, and some things we see a bit differently. But we talked about how even having a conversation on politics, and I know people say we're not supposed to talk about religion and politics. I disagree with that. How else are we supposed to build up the strength of our body as if we were trees? How else would we learn more about what we believe and what others believe and why if we don't have those conversations? We, as disciples of Jesus, were not planted just to live out our lives within the four walls of the church, where it's climate controlled, where it's safe to be who we are. You and I are called to grow. And God wants us to be strong so that when the storms of life come, that we don't just fall over, that we can bend and flex. Often people don't consider the church or Christians to be bendable, to be flexible, to be agile, but that's exactly what we need in order to contend with the storms that we face in our lives. And so when Jesus says, deny yourself, I think some of what that means is if you see that a part of your life is leading you away from God, is if you have patterns or habits or perspectives, outlooks that lead you from God, then name that. Deny that. But then take up your cross, because it's hard to do those things. It's hard to live as a faithful person. It's hard sometimes when you are of one party to say, hey, somebody else in this other party has a good idea. But it's not only that we follow Jesus. Isn't it also how we follow him? Let's face it, all of us are followers on some level. And you know what it's like if you have a coworker or somebody's part of a group meeting with you and they receive a task and all they do is grump and complain. They suck the energy out of the group and bring about such negativity that it makes it actually harder to do the work that we've been assigned. I think there are Christians like that too. There are grumpy Christians. They're grumpy followers. They're reluctant followers. But we hear from St. Paul this morning a little bit about how we can have the heart of a follower. And as we have the heart of a follower of Jesus, that brings about joy. You may or may not say that you have that heart now, but that's the process of growing in discipleship. That's growing as a follower of Jesus. So just as the trees, we grow and our environment helps to form us. But we are called to be like the trees that stand tall. The trees that are firm, that are strong, the trees that, even though they are tall, strong, and have some age on them, we can still bend and flex. Because we know that we don't meet the storms of life by ourselves. We meet the storms of life with our faith. So you and I are called to follow Jesus and to follow with a follower's heart. A heart of joy, a heart of peace, a heart that's willing to bridge the gaps, to bridge the divide with those that we disagree with, those that we may be angry with, and maybe even those that we would call our enemies. Deny yourselves, take up your cross, and follow where Jesus leads the way. In the name of Jesus, amen.